It's really a pleasure to be here. Actually, I'm half Canadian, so I always feel a certain warmth coming to Canada, even when it's so cold. So I'm going to be talking about the P torsion of the Jacobian of curves and characteristic P. And here's a basic outline of what I'm going to do. It turns out there are many invariants of the P torsion of Jacobians and characteristic P. Some of these are pretty well known, such as the P rank, which come up often in cryptographic discussions. Others are less well known, like the A number. And so the first part of the talk is going to be just a crash course on what these invariants are. Then I'll talk about, in some cases, that it's possible to compute these invariants. Basically, if you fix your prime and your curve, then these invariants can always be computed. And I'm going to focus on some results where these invariants can be computed for all primes. And then I'll talk about constructing curves whose p-torsion has certain invariants, and this can be done easily in some cases, and then there are lots of open questions in this area, whether there exist curves that can be that have certain p-torsion, and whether even if there exist these curves, is it possible to construct them. And my focus is really on geometric results, but I'm going to not talk about that so much today. And if there's time at the end, I'll discuss that a little bit more. All right, so just as some review, remember that if you have an elliptic curve over the complex numbers, then it's isomorphic to C modulo some lattice. The P torsion is the kernel of the multiplication by P map. And what this means is that a point has order P means that if you multiply it by P, it should be a lattice point. This means that the P torsion of the elliptic curve is isomorphic to Z mod P squared. And more generally, if you have a Riemann surface of genus G over the complex numbers, then its Jacobian is an abelian group, and the P torsion of that Jacobian, which is called Jx of P, is isomorphic to Z mod P to the 2G. So now we're going to switch to FP bar, or more generally, any algebraically closed field of characteristic P. And let's look at an elliptic curve over this field K. It turns out that the P torsion collapses mod P so that there are fewer than P squared P torsion points. So there are two possibilities. Either there can be P torsion points, in that case the elliptic curve is called ordinary, or there can be just the point at infinity is the only point of order P, and in that case, the elliptic curve is called supersingular. And Agutha showed that it can be really explicitly found out which elliptic curves are supersingular. The curve y squared equals x times x minus 1 times x minus lambda is supersingular for exactly p minus 1 over 2 choices of lambda. And these are roots of a hypergeometric differential equation. Another way of seeing this is that if you look at y squared equals h of x, or h of x is a cubic equation, then this is supersingular if and only if the coefficient of x to the p minus 1 in the polynomial expansion of h of x to the p minus 1 over 2 is 0. So you can really figure out which elliptic curves are supersingular for any given prime p. So when I was trying to persuade some graduate students that these p torsion points collapsed mod p, I found that this example was much more persuasive than any proof. So I'd like to share it with you. So let's say you start with the elliptic curve y squared equals x cubed plus ax squared plus bx plus c. Then what does it mean for a point to have order 3? It means that the x-coordinate of 2 times that point should be the same as the x-coordinate of q. And there's a divisibility polynomial, psi 3 of x, which is 3x to the 4th plus 4ax cubed plus 6bx squared plus 12cx plus 4ac minus b squared. And the roots of that polynomial are exactly the choices of x for which the point xy is a 3-torsion point. It turns out that this polynomial has 4 distinct complex roots, always. And what that means is that we have 4 choices for x, and for each of those there are 2 choices of y. So that gives 8 3-torsion points plus the point at infinity. So that's 9 points that are 3-torsion points. So let's see what happens with that polynomial when you reduce mod 3. Well, that first term just completely drops out. And so we're left with a degree 3 polynomial. And because of the binomial theorem in characteristic P, this polynomial has either a triple root if A is not 0, mod 3, or has no roots if A is 0 mod 3. And so those are going to be exactly the cases in which this elliptic curve is either ordinary or supersingular. But in any case, you don't have 9 3 torsion points anymore. You just have 3 of them, or 1. Okay, so I read 2 papers in preparing this talk about supersingular elliptic curves in cryptography, and I really enjoyed both of them. The first was by Galbraith, who's here, I guess, and the other one was by Silverberg and Rubin. And so this is what I gleaned from these papers, although I hope that I'm giving enough credit to everybody who deserves it. First of all, that if you have a supersingular elliptic curve, then that gives a weak cryptographic system because of the Freyrouk attack. And this and the explicit security parameters of these supersingular elliptic curves were found by, I don't know how to say these names, Menezes, Okamoto, and Vanstone. And if you go up to a curve of higher genus, and you still, which I'll talk about in a minute, then if you have a supersingular abelian variety, which is supersingular, then that's also weak for these cryptosystems. But what Rubin and Silverberg say is that for some cryptographic applications, so identity-based encryption and short signature schemes are some of these, then supersingular elliptic curves actually turn out to be good for those applications. And it seems that there's active research on the security parameters of all of these supersingular abelian varieties. What I'd like to talk about today are that there are other invariants for supersingular abelian varieties and for abelian varieties in general. And the question that I'm curious about is, if you have a curve which has good cryptographic applications and good security parameters, then what are the invariants of its p-torsion? And can you say anything systematically about which types of p-torsions end up giving good curves for cryptography? Okay, so to do this, let's look at a higher genus G, and let X be a smooth projective K-curve. So its Jacobian is then a principally polarized abelian variety of dimension G. It turns out, in this case, the number of p-torsion points over K is p to some number f. And here, f has to be between 0 and G. So not as many as 2G, which is what happens over the complex numbers. And this number f is the p-rank of X. So one difference in this definition from the work of Renata or Allison is that in this case we count the points over K, which is an algebraically closed field, rather than over FQ. So this makes it a really different question. It makes it more a geometric question rather than a rationality question. So this p-rank, there are lots of different ways of defining it. So the first is just by counting how many p-torsion points there are. But you can also measure it as the dimension of the vector space of homomorphisms from mu p to the Jacobian. And here mu p is a group scheme. It's the kernel of Frobenius on the multiplicative group Dm. And you can also define it using Galois theory and unramified covers of X that have elementary abelian p-group. Now, the best case scenario is if the P rank equals G, and this happens almost always. And in that case, we say that the curve X is ordinary. And if you want to have a smaller P rank, then that's a more special condition. And the set of curves that have P rank smaller and smaller gets to be a smaller and smaller subset of curves over FQ. All right, so what's the connection between this P rank and supersingularity? Well, remember, a supersingular abelian variety, what that means is that the abelian variety is isogenous to a product of supersingular elliptic curves. Another way of mentioning this is that you can look at the Newton polygon, and it turns out the slopes of the Newton polygon all have to be 1/2. And there are other ways of measuring this in terms of the characteristic polynomial of Frobenius and all sorts of other ways. So this P rank is an isogeny invariant, which means that, so what that means is that if you have a supersingular abelian variety, then its P rank is going to be the same as the P rank of this product of elliptic curves, which are supersingular. So that means a supersingular abelian variety means that the P rank has to be 0. Now, the converse is false if the genus is at least 3. And here's an interesting way of seeing this. So let's look at the prime p being 2 and the genus being 2 to the n minus 1. And then in this case, the curve y squared plus y equals h of x, as long as h of x is a polynomial whose degree is 2g plus 1, then that's a curve of genus g, and it has p rank 0, where p is 2. In fact, all curves of genus g with p rank 2 can be written in that format. So that has p rank 0, but it turns out that there are no supersingular hyperelliptic curves of this genus, and that was a result shown by Jun Zhu. So here we have curves of p rank 0, which cannot be supersingular. And in fact, this is true for every p, that there are curves of p rank 0 which are not supersingular. Okay, so here's a new invariant, the A number. And the easiest way to define this invariant is, again, using group schemes. So it's the dimension over k of the space of homomorphisms from alpha p to the Jacobian. And here alpha p is the group scheme, which is the kernel of Frobenius on the additive group. And so this A number, it's a little bit hard to give a sense of what it means, but what it really measures is, if you look at the Dieudonné module of this curve, then you have a Frobenius map and a Vershiba map. And what this A number measures is the intersection of the image of these, the image of F and the image of V. So that's not quite accurate, because you need to take a twist of one of the maps, but it gives some idea. So what's known about this is that the A number can only go up under specialization. So usually, if you have an ordinary curve, the A number is 0. And then for very special curves, the A number can get bigger. If the P rank, F, is 0, then it turns out that the A number has to be at least 1. And also, the if you add the A number and the P rank together, that can be at most G, but often that's not an equality there. So here's an example. If you look at the abelian variety, which is a product, isomorphic to a product of supersingular elliptic curves, then that's called a super special abelian variety, and that has A number G. So that's the largest that the A number can possibly be. So that's a very special case, super special rather than super singular. And these abelian varieties, you can always make it an abelian variety which is super special, but just by taking a product of elliptic curves which are super special. But it's very hard to get that to be the Jacobian of a curve. So it turns out that a super special curve can only occur if the genus is at most p squared minus p over 2. That result was proved by Ekdahl and was generalized a little bit later on by Ray. And that upper bound is actually realized by the Hermitian curves. So other things about the A number is that it's not an isogeny invariant. So if you have two supersingular elliptic curves, if A is isomorphic to E1 cross E2, then the A number is 2. But if A is only isogenous but not isomorphic to E1 cross E2, then the A number will be 1. Other things that are true about this are that the P rank and the A number don't determine the isomorphism class of the P torsion JX of P. So it turns out there are lots of other invariants, and these things can be described combinatorially in lots of different ways. And there's no way to give enough of a description of all these things, but I'll just say for the experts here that the Ekdahl-Oort type, which will be on the next slide, new, is one way of determining the p-torsion type of the curve. That was found by Ekdahl and Oort. There are Young diagrams which describe the p-torsion of a Jacobian of a curve, and that was described by Van der Haar. And using these Young diagrams, Van der Haar actually showed that the p-torsion type can be described by a cycle class in the tautological ring of the moduli space of abelian varieties. Okay, so here's just some examples of how these things turn out. So for genus 1, the p rank can be either 1 or 0. The A number then corresponds to be either 0 or 1. These are these other invariants that I talked about just a minute ago, which I won't define here. And inside the moduli space of elliptic curves, which has dimension 1, that's just the J line, the case where P rank is 1 is what happens almost always. That's what the codimension being 0 means, that that's almost everything. And the super singular elliptic curves have codimension 1, which means that there are finitely many of them. And so I've just given names for these two group schemes here. I've called them L and I11. That's not standard terminology. And as group schemes, L is the direct sum of Z mod P and mu P, and I11 is a non-split, fits inside a non-split exact sequence whose kernel and co-kernel are alpha P. And if you're interested in the Diodonné modules and the action of the Frobenius and the Verschiebung, which are non-commutative here, so this notation may look a little confusing, but this is the Diodonné module of these two group schemes. Okay, so for genus 2, we have 4 possibilities. The P rank could be 2, 1, 0, or 0. The A number is 0, 1, 1, or 2, and these are the two cases that I described a minute ago, where this one occurs for an abelian variety, which is isomorphic to the product of two supersingular elliptic curves, and this one is just if it's isogenous to the product of two supersingular elliptic curves. And as group schemes, these things get harder and harder to write down. So for instance, this group scheme I21, it gets really messy to write down what this is. But the Diodonné module of this turns out to be fairly straightforward to write down. It just has the property that the Frobenius squared is the same as the negative of the Verschiebung squared on this Diodonné module. One thing that's interesting here is that for the Newton polygons, the supersingular case occurs for both of these two cases here. So this shows that the p-torsion is in some ways a finer invariant than just the supersingularity. Okay, up to genus 3, this is just to give it some sense of what's going on here. So I'll say one more thing about genus 2 is that, so the ordinary case happens almost always. So that's with dimensions 3 in the moduli space of curves of genus 2. This case happens with dimension 2 in this moduli space of genus 3. And this happens then with dimension 1. And then this one down here, there are only finitely many super special abelian surfaces. Yeah, yes? Yeah, in this case, for genus 2 and genus 3, it's not so bad because the dimension of the moduli space of curves is the same as the dimension of the moduli space of abelian varieties. And so that's very well described by the results of Ord and Chai. There's some recent things coming out with that. So there are finitely many of these, and the number of them can be measured in terms of a class number. This one here, this is a dimension 1 thing, and it turns out that they're all rational curves, so isomorphic to P1s, and they intersect in these super special points. Yeah, but there's still other open, I think in genus 2 there's not so much that's open about this, but once we get to genus 3 and genus 4, there'll be many things that are not known about the geometry of these things here. Any other questions? Okay, so now there are 8 possibilities. I won't go through them all, but there are 2 new indecomposable group schemes that occur. And the very interesting thing that happens in genus 3 is that let's look at this group scheme in particular, which has codimension 3, P rank 0, and A number 1. Then usually curves that have that P torsion have Newton polygon with slopes 1/3 and 2/3. But there do also exist curves and abelian varieties of dimension 3 that have that group scheme which are supersingular. So this shows that the supersingularity doesn't really match up well with this p-torsion type. And it's an open question to figure out, in general, if you have a supersingular curve, which possibilities for the p-torsion could it have, and what would happen? And in general, how does the supersingular locus intersect the locus of curves that have all these different types of group schemes for their p-torsion? Okay, so for genus 4, there's 16 possibilities. I didn't write them all down, but you can see that in general, there are going to be 2 to the g possibilities. Here are the possibilities that have in genus 4 that have a p rank being 0. And at this point, there get to be many open questions. It's not known whether these all occur as the p torsion of a Jacobian of a curve of genus 4 for all p. So if you look at a small prime p, you can start computing these things and seeing whether or not they occur But it is essentially a trial and error approach at this point. Nobody has a systematic way to construct a curve which has a certain type of p-torsion. Okay, so what's the easiest way to compute the p-rank in the A number? It's to look at the Cartier operator, which is a semilinear operator on the space of one-forms. And the p-rank here is going to be the dimension of the image of the Cartier operator raised to the g-th power, where, again, you have to be a little careful here because this is only a semilinear operator. And the A number is the difference between g and r, where r is the rank of that Cartier operator. So if you pick your favorite prime p and your favorite curve x, it's implemented to be able to compute the p-rank and the A number. And this was nicely worked out in the case by Yui when x is a hyperelliptic curve. In this case, what's important here is to look at y squared being h of x, where h of x is some product of x minus lambda I. And you look at the h of x to the p minus 1 over 2 and look at the coefficient of x to the r in that expansion and construct a matrix, a g by g matrix, whose ij's entry is c to the ip minus j. And then it turns out that y is ordinary if and only if the determinant of that matrix is non-zero, and the p rank is the rank of the matrix M, where M is the product of this matrix A, and then A twisted by P, and then A twisted by P squared, and this whole product like that. So here's an example. What I just said there doesn't work when p is equal to 2. So here's an example of the Cartier operator when p equals 2. Let's look at a hyperelliptic curve that has p rank 0, and it has to have the form y squared plus y equals h of x, where h of x is a polynomial of odd degree j. And so some curves found in, for instance, this paper by Galbraith have this format. So in this case, the genus is j minus 1 over 2, and the p rank is 0 by the Dering-Shafarevich formula. And so you can write down a basis for the one forms. And the Cartier operator in this case, it acts on x to the 2b dx by sending it to 0, and it acts on x to the 2b plus 1 dx by sending it to x to the b dx. So in this case, the Cartier operator is nilpotent, and that means that the p rank is going to be 0. And the A number is about g over 2, and that's because of it's the difference between g and the image of this, the dimension of the image of this Cartier operator. So here's some more examples. Just stealing all these curves found in this one paper I read. In this case, the A number was computed by a postdoc at CSU named Arson Elkin. So what can be gleaned from these examples? In this case, they all have p rank 0, and the A number is, in general, as small as it could be. So what's interesting to ask here, and this would be an open direction to move in, is in general these curves that have been found by so many people that have good security parameters, what types of p-torsion do they have? And in general, do they have small A number? So another example is the curve y to the p minus y equals x to the p plus 1. That's useful in the theory of error-correcting codes because it's a maximal curve. It has as many points defined over fp squared as possible. And in this case, the genus is p times p minus 1 over 2. The p rank is 0, and the a number is g. So this is a very, very special curve. One thing I did was to compute the a number for the curves y to the p minus y equals x to the j. And as long as p is congruent to 1 mod j, there's a very nice closed formula for this, that the a number is about g over 2. So it's p minus 1j over 4 if j is even, and this other expression if j is odd. Now, if you remove the condition that p is 1 mod j, I still have a formula for what the a number is, but it's not so nice to write down here. It can be easily computed in any particular case, but it doesn't look so clean as this. All right, so what's known geometrically about these existence results? So let's look at any prime p bigger than 2, bigger than or equal to 2, let's think about G being any number at least 1, and F being any number between 0 and G. So it is known that there exists a curve X over FP bar, which has these properties. So first, Faber and von der Herr showed that you can get any genus with any P rank F. And this was a geometric result. It used some results of Norman and Ort about the moduli space of abelian varieties, and then used some an induction process using the boundary of the moduli space of curves. And Darren Glass and I then generalized this argument to show that you can also choose this curve to be hyperelliptic. And so that proof was, again, similar using the boundary of moduli spaces of hyperelliptic curves. So I've put Jun Zhu here to show that you can get any genus and any P rank F with X hyperelliptic if P is 2. And so that's actually not so hard to show, but she showed more that you can also get that the automorphism group of this hyperelliptic curve is exactly Z mod 2, so it doesn't have any extra automorphisms. And then at that point, it starts getting to be fairly wide open. So I was able to show that you can get any genus with the P rank being G minus 2 and the A number being 1, and any genus with the P rank G minus 2 and the A number 2, as long as the prime P is at least 5. This does not occur if the prime is 3. And any genus at least 3 with the P rank being G minus 3 and the A number being 1. So what's happening here, the idea is to try to show that we can get the A number to be as small as possible. That's what's expected to be the generic behavior. And already showing these things was fairly fairly complicated geometric results about the moduli spaces of curves and hyperelliptic curves. Another thing to notice is that in all of these results, only Jun Zhu's result is constructive. And so, there's no systematic way to produce these curves at this point. More generally, all these results, since they're geometric, you might as well talk about some of the properties of the geometry of these moduli spaces. And so that the results at this time show that the dimension of those moduli spaces are what you'd expect them to be. Yeah, let's see. So the top one, you can get any genus and P rank hyperelliptic. That's by Darren and myself when P is at least 3, and by June when P is 2. For the hyperelliptic one, this one here that this thing here that the genus is at least 2 and the P rank is G minus 2 and A number 1, that one can occur for hyperelliptic. And I'm going to talk about constructing this with hyperelliptic in a minute. For this one here, at this point, it's not known whether you can choose X to be hyperelliptic. And the reason is because the moduli space of hyperelliptic curves has dimension 5, whereas the moduli space of abelian threefolds has dimension 6. Doesn't seem like such a big difference, but it's not known how those things fit together at this time. Okay, so one way that it is possible to explicitly construct a curve whose P rank is G minus 2 and whose A number is 2 is to do the following. The idea is that we're somehow going to try to build a Jacobian which contains I'll just set it up like this. The way you start is you start with two hyperelliptic covers, phi 1 and phi 2, and we're going to choose the branch locus of those two covers to be B1 and B2. And what we'll do is look at the fiber product of those two covers. So, it shouldn't say hyperelliptic here. So in general, that's So then the thing is then to look at a third hyperelliptic cover, phi 3, where it's branched at a very explicit branch locus, which is the union of B1 and U2 minus the intersection of B1 and B2. So then at that point, you can look at the fiber product of phi 1 and phi 2, and that's a Z mod 2 squared cover of the projective line. And it turns out that as long as P is at least 2, then the Jacobian of this curve D is going to be the P torsion of the Jacobian of this curve D is going to be isomorphic to the direct sum of the P torsion of these three curves, C1, C2, and C3. This is similar to what's seen in the results of Connie and Rosen. The reason is because these C1, C2, and C3 are somehow the quotients by the three subgroups of size 2 in Z mod 2 squared. In Kadian Rosen, this is an isogeny between these two things. And in order to work with the A number, we had to strengthen that a little bit, because the A number is not an isogeny invariant. So we were able to show that the degree of that isogeny is a power of 2. And what this means then is that the P torsion, as long as P is bigger than 2, the P torsion will be isomorphic then. Okay, so what's great about this then is, well, then let's take C1 to have P rank sort of down by 1 and have A number 1. And let's take C2 to have P rank just down by 1 and A number 1. And now what do we want? We want this thing to somehow drop out of the picture. If this thing drops out of the picture, that has two nice properties. First of all, it means that D will be a hyperelliptic cover of C3, which is a projective line, so it'll be hyperelliptic. And it also means we don't have to worry about what the P torsion is for this thing, because it will not show up. So the idea is that we want to take this C3, we want that to be a projective line. So how is that going to be arranged? Well, it means that this B3 has to be really small. It can only have 2 branch points in it. So that means that B1 and B2 are going to have very similar branch loci. So in the case that the D has an even genus, what we want is that B1 and B2 have the same size, and they differ in only one choice of a branch point. In the case that we want the genus of D to be odd, we're going to want B2 to be size 2 more than B1. So we want B2 to actually contain B1, but to have 2 extra points in it. And so what Darren and I showed then is that it is possible to choose B1 not equal to B2, satisfying those numerical conditions, so that the and which both have P rank just down by 1, so an A number 1. And for that we use the result of Noriko Yui, which talks about the locus of curves that have P rank just down by 1 and A number 1. And we use this result of Agusa about explicitly finding which curves are super singular. So that turned out, this again, there's some geometry hidden in this thing here. Okay, so we were, so this is an explicit construction, but the construction gets more and more tricky as G gets bigger, because in some ways it's using induction here, because you're sort of working with either if the genus of D is G, then you need to either have an explicit construction of a curve of genus G over 2 or G over 2 minus 1. And so, but in general then this can be, so for instance, if you wanted a curve of genus 4, you could explicitly write down what the branch points of this hyperelliptic cover D to C3 should be. And then once you have that, then for genus 5 you could do the same, and for genus 6 you could do the same. So it can be done very explicitly, but we haven't done that yet. Okay, so here's a fun approach. If you wanted to construct a curve of genus 5 and A number 3, here's a way that it would be possible to do this. The idea would be to pick 3 super singular values, lambda 1, lambda 2, lambda 3, and look at the super singular elliptic curve branched at 0, 1, and lambda I. So there are a finite number of ways of choosing those 3 possibilities for lambda 1, lambda 2, and lambda 3. Now, let's look at the curve branched at lambda 1, lambda 2, lambda 3, and 0 and 1. So that's a hyperelliptic curve, and it turns out that has genus 2. So there are 4 possibilities for what the P torsion of that thing could look like. It could have P rank 2, or P rank 1, or P rank 0. And if it has P rank 0, we have to figure out whether the A number is 1 or 2. And what we expect is that for every prime P, there should be some choice of lambda 1 through lambda 3, so that this curve Y is ordinary with P rank 2. And this was verified by Chris Reisenthaler, as long as the prime is less than 100. And in that case, if you look at the fiber product of E1 with E2 with E3, it ends up being a hyperelliptic curve of genus 5, whose P rank is 2 and whose A number is 3. So that's the only way I've seen of constructing something like this. Now, on the other hand, we might say, well, let's try to go for something a little bit more interesting. Maybe we can get this fiber product to have P rank 0. In order to do that, what would we need? we need to make sure that y has p rank 0 as well, because the Jacobian of y is going to be sitting inside the Jacobian of this fiber product. And unfortunately, for some primes p, there does not exist the choice of lambda 1, lambda 2, and lambda 3, so that y has p rank 0. But it doesn't seem to be systematic which primes for which there does not exist these three things and which primes for which there does exist these three things. So this is another open question here, to try to figure out when such a curve of genus 5 will exist. All right, here's another different method, a Galois theory method, to produce curves whose p rank is g minus 2 and whose a number is 1. So what we're going to do is start with a curve of genus 2, let's call that y, whose p rank is 0 and whose a number is 1. So this we can do, so if p is 2, you can look at y squared plus y is x to the 5th, p is 3, y squared equals x to the 6th plus x plus 2, p equals 5, here's a possibility, and many possibilities, but you know, here's some explicit ones. And then let's look at all the points of order L, where L is g plus 1, on the Jacobian of y. So first of all, this is only possible if P doesn't divide L. And then this is again an open question, like to find an example of, you know, to find these points of order L and to write down what they are. And it turns out that Reynaud proved that always for one of these points of order L, well, first of all, for any point of order L on the Jacobian, that corresponds to an unramified Z mod L cover from X to Y. And the genus of X is going to be G. And it turns out that Reynaud showed that at least one point of order L, you can choose X to have P rank G minus 2. And then it's going to be forced to have A number 1 as well. But finding which of these points gives us this unramified cover with these nice properties, I don't think anybody has looked at. And I didn't, but you could say a theorem here that there does exist a curve of genus G with F being G minus 2 and A number being 1, but I didn't write that down because it was already, a stronger result was already true, which I said on an earlier slide. But let's say we wanted to construct curves now with P rank being G minus 3. So we could try to do something similar and show that all four possibilities for the P torsion of a curve of genus G occur. So what will we do? We'll start with a curve of genus 3 with P rank 0. And using results of some papers of Oort, you can show that there are four possibilities for the P torsion of that curve. And in fact, all four possibilities do occur for a curve of genus 3 with P rank 0. Okay, so then as long as then we could look at an unramified covers of these curves of genus 3, and using the same result of Reynaud, show that it's possible to find a curve X, which is an unramified cover of this curve of genus 3, whose P torsion has certain nice properties. And so this is what you get out of doing that. Let's say the prime is at least 3. Let's say the G is at odd, not congruent to 1 mod P, and at least 6 times P minus 1 plus 1. Then all four possibilities for the P torsion of a curve X of genus G with P rank G minus 3 do occur. So where do these numerical hypotheses come from? So the fact that G can't be 1 mod P, that boils down to the fact that we need this unramified cover to have degree prime to P. And then the fact that this genus of this curve that we started with has genus 3 means that the genus of the curve on top is going to be at least this. And then the Riemann-Hertz formula gives that the genus of that curve on top is always going to have to be odd. So this is why these numerical restrictions come up. It's because we'd like to try to produce these curves as unramified covers of curves of genus 3. Okay, so the open questions which I talked about at the beginning are, let's say you look at curves of genus G with P rank F, and we know these exist from the early results. So the P torsion then, as a group scheme, it has to split up into the part coming from the P rank F, so that looks like a Z mod P plus mu P to the F, and then it has to have some other part with P rank 0. Now, because of like those tables back at the beginning, it turns out that there are 2 to the g minus f minus 1 possibilities for this group scheme G. And so some natural questions to ask are, well, which A numbers in which group schemes actually occur for the Jacobians of curves? And if this group scheme occurs, try to describe the corresponding strata of MG having this group scheme. How many components does it have? What are their dimensions? And then, for computational purposes, you might actually want this curve to be defined over some finite field, and which finite field is it? And to be measuring other things about this curve, and so that would be asking about rational points on this strata of MG. Okay, well, there are 2 trivial cases. If F equals G, there's only 1 possibility for the p-torsion. And if F equals G minus 1, again, there's only 1 possibility for the p-torsion. So those cases are just sort of trivial. But once F is at most G minus 2, there are not many results. And so the conjecture that I have is that the generic or a generic curve of genus G and P rank F should have A number 1. And this I've been able to prove for the case when F is G minus 2 or G minus 3. And in general, I've been able to reduce the proof for any F down to the base case where F is 0. So what this means is that I would love to understand the case of curves of genus G with P rank 0 and A number 1. Because once you kind of, those are somehow the base cases of induction arguments, and once you understand those, you can understand all possibilities for the P rank. Let me just mention that once you say that this curve has A number 1 and P rank F, then it's completely nails down what the group scheme has to be. There's only 1 possibility for the group scheme. So, for instance, well, I'll just skip that. So here are some open questions that I would really like to know the answer to, because they would help me as base cases for other things that I've been able to do. So let's say we look at hyperelliptic curves of genus 3 with P rank 0. So it's known that there is 1 such curve that has A number 1. That was shown by Ort. But what's not known is whether this locus of hyperelliptic curves of genus 3 and P rank 0 may break up into several different pieces. And what I'd like to know is whether each piece has 1 curve inside of it with A number 1. But it turns out that it would be enough to answer that question to understand how this supersingular locus intersects this moduli space of curves of genus 3 with P rank 0. And it would be enough to just show that the supersingular locus intersects each component of this moduli space. Now, it's really not known how many components this thing has. It might be that it's connected, which would be fantastic, but I think more likely what's going to happen is that the number of components will depend on P. And so, so in general, it'd be nice to be able to systematically produce these curves that have P rank 0 and A number 1. And then once you get up to genus at least 4, then almost nothing is known for curves of P rank 0 and genus at least 4. So, for instance, it would be nice to know whether there exists a curve of P rank 0 and A number 1, and also if there exists a curve of P rank G minus 3 and A number 3. And so at this point with Arson Elkin, we've started looking into just computational evidence for these things. It gets very slow on the computer because the A number is very fast to compute with the computer, but the P rank locus gets a little bit harder to do. Okay, so let me just end by saying what we've talked about here is that the Cartier operator is very useful for computing these invariants of the P torsion Jx of P, and that using Galois theory, it's possible to produce curves X that have interesting P torsion. I didn't talk about geometric methods that show that there exist hyperelliptic curves of genus G with P rank F and that have low A number, but that's another thing that can be done. And so I think I'll end there. Thanks. Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Do the intermediate powers give you meaningful invariants?
Yeah. So let me go back to just say a little bit about this new here. And so the idea with new is that if you look at the DNA module, that has rank 2G, and inside that there are the one forms which have rank G. And so what Ekdahl and Art did was to show that you can make a filtration of the DNA module where the rank goes up by exactly one at each point. And what's nice about that filtration is it should be stable under the Vashiba map and under inverses of the Vashiba map, and that if you have a duality, that says it should be stable under duality also. And so then the Ekdahl Earth strata, what you do is you look at that filtration up halfway, up to G, and then see what the dimension of the Cartier operator is on that filtration. So maybe this case is too small to see what's going on here, but so for instance, in this case of genus 2, what this is saying here is that in this first case, this is saying basically that the Cartier operator is kind of invertible. Whereas this case down here, it says that the Cartier operator is a zero operator. And so this intermediate case here, this one says that the Cartier operator is nilpotent, but its rank is 1. And in this case, it's not nilpotent. So yeah, so exactly that gives you a lot of information. But once you get up to genus 3, you need to know more information than just the Cartier operator. So the Cartier operator, turns out, can't distinguish between these two cases right here. And for that, you need to have the full DNA module. Yeah.
The follow-up question, you mentioned at the end that somehow the calculating where the P rank loci is sort of complicated. The A number is sort of less complicated because I guess you just read it off in one power of the Cartier.
Right.
So if you look at maybe something like, invariance associated to low powers of the Cartier operator,
Yeah, I mean, I think there are a couple things going on there. I mean, first is that, so the A number being, let's say the A number being 1, unfortunately, it's not such useful information sometimes because it has, because you don't know the P rank. So it turns out that the group scheme could be so many different possibilities. So I think there's not a full understanding of what geometrically, what you'd want from that. Yeah. So that's one thing. But I think that approach that you're talking about is basically what was used by Ray. And so one thing you can get out of it is showing that curves with certain A numbers can't occur. So I should say more about that. So for instance, this is a very special case down here. But if you want to have very large A number, it's going to put restrictions on the genus in terms of P. And so that might come out of that approach that you were talking about. But it's a good thing to look more into. Renata?
Oh, I have a quick question. So the rank can be, the P rank can be anything, so it's always between 0 and G, and any value can occur, right?
Right. Okay. For a curve or for a hyperelliptic curve.
Right.
Yeah. But this is, this is over an algebraically closed field.
Yeah.
Right. No. Yeah. I think there's some theoretical results, but I don't know what they are. Okay.